gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that you are here, and that had you not been here, Father, we would have no hope. But Father, that you came down in this hour with a great shout, which is a message of preparation, a message to make ready a prepared people unto the Lord. And so, Father, we know the difference between the appearing and the coming. We know that you yourself, Father, have appeared in the form of the pillar of fire to bring us your word. We know that it's to get us ready for the coming of your Son, Jesus, where we go to meet him in the air. And Father, we know that there's many things that you are here to do, and we know part of that is to change the inner man and then to change the outer man, Lord, that we could be transformed by the renewing of our mind and be caught up to meet you in the air. So, Lord, we just ask you, Father, to be with us as we would study this masterpiece which Brother Branham preached, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, in understanding our role as sons and how it is that men have gotten off from the Word. When each time, Father, you brought them a message, each time that you came and you've declared yourself through a man, through a ministry, Lord, it seems like men have always wanted to control that ministry, to control that message, and they've organized it. So, Father, help us to understand so that we would never have that thought, those desires in our hearts, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we'll continue in our study of Brother Ram's sermon on the masterpiece, and we'll begin reading again at paragraph 153. He said, notice, if the bridegroom, the beginning, the first bridegroom, this is the bride coming forth. Now, remember, the church began at Pentecost, and it fell at Nicaea. It sprouted, not like the real grain, no, it was some of the life in there, but it sprouted in order to make an organization. And it pulled through that organization. And then what did it do? Then it went, and from that organization, it went into another organization. You know, that's a real sad indictment, that God would bring a message, Luther's message, and men would organize it. That God would then bring forth Wesley's message out of that organization. The people would recognize that they can't live in organization. They come out of organization, and then their children would go back into organization. And it seems like every time God comes on the scene, God does something for man, man wants to organize it. Now, why would that be? Why would man want to organize it? Simply because man wants to control. And by organizing, you control. We talked about when Jesus said that he would bind the tares into bundles. And we showed how that the bundles are not just a pile. A pile is not organized except for it's in one location. That's all. But you can't very easily take that pile and move it to the burning place. But if you bundle it, if you bind it first, if you take and put the large ones together, the long ones, the skinny ones together, and you can make easy bundles to move them, then you find that the ability to burn them, the ability to move them is much, much easier. Well, that's what organization is all about. You see, you have better control over the bundle if it's bound. If it's not bound, you're going to lose a few here and there. You're going to lose maybe a lot of them trying to pick them up. But if you bind them first, and we know that binding is to bring them under obligation. So before we go too far in this study this morning, I just want to point out that Brother Branham has been blasting the fact that the word begins to move on, and then what does man do? They organize it, or they try to organize it. And what is it that they try to organize? God's Word. Therefore, they're trying to organize God Himself, because God is the Word. You know, that's exactly what Lucifer did at the beginning. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. In other words, it bound them. It drew them in, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now let's look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Notice, neither was their place, not Neither was there a place for them, but neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were cast. Chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was wise, and that word full is the same word that's used in the Hebrew for fullness. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Covereth what? The mercy seat. Notice Moses put two cherubs above the mercy seat. One was Lucifer, one was Michael. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, Brother Branham said that Lucifer was co-equal with the Lord in the beginning. And he said that he led in the worship. He was a steward, as Brother Vail brought out. Steward over the angels. By the multitude of the merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. And Brother Branham taught us that iniquity, in fact, the scripture says, iniquity is to know to do something and you don't do it. Or know not to do something and you do it anyway. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt say, Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So the Lord cast him out. And as we read in Revelation chapter 12, there's a big warfare. Now, it doesn't say there was a big warfare using swords and stones and sticks and whatever kind of weapons. The weapons was, he had a tale that he told. And that tale that he told drew a third of the stars of heaven, drew a third of the angels into his camp. He took a third of the angels in heaven and he organized them against the word, against God. And Brother Brown said, whenever the trumpet sounds, he said, there's war is declared. It's a gospel war. So these were war of words. War of positioning, while Lucifer was organizing his group. In chapter 28, in the beginning, we read, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now notice, the one that came out of the garden was called the king of Tyrus. That was Satan himself. But look at the effect that he had upon this man, the prince of Tyrus. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord, and a prince is the son of a king. So these would have to be serpent seed. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now we know, according to Scripture, that where you read the word heart, it represents understanding. So he's trying to say, I have the understanding of God. And notice he sits upon the seas, which we know seas are multitudes, nations, and peoples. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thine riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, And thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas, multitudes, nations, and peoples. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God, and in the hand of him that slayeth thee. In other words, like the fella out in Colorado that says he's God. God has incarnated him. Well, one of these days when he gets killed on the way home from the bars that he frequents, the people will say, this man said he was God? This drunk was God? You see how a man can get lifted up because of popularity, money, or women. They get lifted up like Lucifer got lifted up because of his organization. And that's exactly what lifts man up, organization. They're able to organize the women. They're able to organize the money, the popularity. And that's what organization is all about. He wanted to be lifted up to be equal with God. And that is what organization does. It makes itself an equal with the Word of God. By your traditions, you bring the Word of God to none effect. That's what Jesus said. But we all know that is impossible. But they don't think so. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will be like. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. From the message, let your light so shine before men. Brother Branham said, when Jesus come, what kind of class of people did he have to get? Uneducated fishermen. Men. Peter, apostle. The great saint who was given the keys to the heavens could not even sign his own name. He stunk with fish from the old fish supposed to make that old greasy apron on. Jesus took that class of a man. Today, they'd kick him out of their church. If he come in, right, to worship. See, the people are looking for class. And did you know the devil lives in class? Do you know what caused the first battle in heaven? Was when Lucifer set up a greater class of people, got a better class of angels, he thought, built a bigger kingdom, a more brighter, shinier kingdom than Michael had. And he was kicked out of heaven. See where class comes from? Stay away from class. The hungry don't want class. The hungry wants food. Yes, sir. And see where class leads to? It leads to organization. It has to, because it is not content to lead things the way that God has made them. And instead it tries to use class to motivate. Instead of the Word of God to do your motivating. Why do you think that during the age of missionaries, they failed so miserably? Because instead of teaching the people the Word of God, and instead of teaching them their relationship to the Father as sons of God, they tried to teach them how to be westernized in the way they dressed, in the way they eat food, in the way they prepare their food. They tried to change their culture instead of changing their heart before God. And you see where class leads to? It leads to organization, because it has to. Because it's not content to leave things the way that God made them. It tries to use class to motivate instead of using the Word of God to motivate an individual. And it leads to jealousies. And it leads to vying for positions. And it leads to snubbing others and building around you an organization that's like-minded snobs. And that is 99% of the churches today, even in this message. That's why Christ is on the outside, because they've got organization on the inside. Again, from Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 257, Brother Branham said, Now, the big fancy intellectual denominations are doing the very same thing. They're gathering themselves together to do the same thing. See, they are gathering and denominating themselves, each one trying to beat the other. And now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite it with the Catholic Church, see? Lucifer, again, building a bigger kingdom to push out people that don't believe in denominations and even take their church buildings and make storerooms and the pastors of such has no rights at all. And a man that is a God-sent man would never stay in a denomination after hearing this or seeing it. If he's got enough to get, if he's got enough to go out and look at it, certainly, see? I don't say that critically, I say that truthfully, see? To see that revealed. And again, from It Is I, Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, and I wonder, brethren, if our churches hasn't done the same thing in the excitement of the revival. We're trying to find who can have the biggest church and the best-dressed congregation and the biggest organization, more members. I wonder if it ain't kind of slipped off in all of this without him, see? Leaving him back and laying. And just because we got a better crowd and a bigger church, and that's where my fear comes for my Pentecostal church that I'm zealous of, that it'll miss the real kernel, the real kingdom of God. Remember, brother, sister, Pentecost is not an organization. Pentecost is an experience. Methodist, Baptist, Anglican, whoever will. Pentecost, you can't organize Pentecost, because that's the Holy Ghost. And see, you cannot. It's an experience that comes to all people. So we see that the Pentecostal experience is nothing less than God moving in the midst of his people, which is what this message is all about. And he said the real experience of God moving among his people, in other words, his presence among his people, that could never be organized. But the fake can be organized because they have done that. Pentecostal organizations are everywhere. And even right among us in this message. And believe me, don't think that just because you believe the Godhead correctly, and don't think just because you believe the presence of God is among us in the form of the pillar of fire, that you're immune from that organizational spirit. The devil knows the Godhead correctly, and he trembles. And he knows that God is here, and he's doing everything he can to get men into organization. Bring on that Laodicean spirit. So don't tell me that just because you can quote it right, that you can receive the that you can't receive that organizational spirit. When you think that you had, you better watch out. When you think you're above it, you better be careful. As Brother Vail told me years ago, he said they got it, but they don't got it. Oh yeah, they can quote it, and they can even quote it right. But if their life doesn't reflect that he's here, and if their own life does not show that they are living in the presence of the great judge of the heavens and the earth, then don't tell me that they believe it, because it isn't real to them anyhow. And if it's not real to them, then it's not a reality. And if it's not a reality, then it is just a mental conception that they've got. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a mental conception. That's right. But unless you are aware that he is here, then you are only hoping that what you have heard Brother Branham teach or Brother Vail expound on, you're just hoping that it's right. But you don't really believe, you don't really know that it's right, because it's not a reality to you. But when it becomes a reality to you, it's because you've become alive to it, and it has become alive in you and all around you, till you see nothing else but the resurrected Lord God in the midst of the people, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Brown called those who organized the message for their day, he called them fallen angels. From Christ is the Mystery, paragraph 259, he said, now listen close, fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? They've organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to take an image under the beast, as the Bible said, and they're building a Christian economy that'll close the doors of this church and others like it. What do you think they're doing today? Our so-called born-again president. See, Lucifer at his work. I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation of or mystery of God. What did they do? They sold out to reasoning of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels. And again in paragraph 267 of Christ revealed in his own word, he said, and here's Lucifer at his job again. And remember, the Antichrist is not communism. The Antichrist is so close like the real thing, it'll deceive the very elected if it was possible. Jesus said, Matthew 24, the elected if it was possible. Lucifer again is breaking God's unity in man by his limiting the word of God to his reasonings. What he thinks is right and what he thinks. And he breaks the word of God. Now, what is God's unity in man? Jesus said, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you or I are one. He said, I've given them thy word that they might be one. And how does Lucifer break that? He gets you to reasoning with it. He gets you trying to figure it out in your own way so it'll fit your own lifestyle or what you want to have. And the same thing he did in the days of Jesus. And he said, you, by your traditions, have made the word of God of no effect. And the denominations, by their organized intellectual reasonings, has made God's word of no effect upon the people. That's right. They just can't see it. Then they say, where is the God of the Bible? He's right here. He's the Bible. That's what he is. And what did they do in Jesus' day? They quoted the prophets. That's what they did. And they missed the very one that the prophets pointed to. The living word of God, right there in their midst. They said, we have Moses, but who is this man? We know not from where he came from. In John chapter 9, we see Jesus heal a man who was born blind. And this really irritated the Pharisees because it took away their power over the people. That's right. Anytime God brings a man, and that man comes forth with, thus saith the Lord, or that man comes forth with the supernatural taking place in his ministry, God backing up that ministry, or that man comes with a word to bring the people to rest, to deliver the people, the organization, they clam up. They close off against that. They say, don't listen to that man. He's preaching two gods. That man, he's just a Jehovah's Witness. They don't bother to check it out for themselves. Jesus said, they neither will enter in, neither will they let others enter in that are going. And so we see in John chapter 9, verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. You know, this guy was a little sarcastic. I like that. Herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. As soon as you speak against the organized hierarchy, what's the first thing they want to do? Get rid of you. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when they found him, when Jesus found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe in the Son of God, or on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say that we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You say, well, I believe Brother Vail. I believe Brother Branham. He said, therefore you say that you see. Therefore your sin remaineth. You're still organized, people. Not talking about you specifically. They're still organizing this message. Or they're going back to organization. And notice that when they can't control you, the first thing they want to do is to throw you out, like these men did to this man that had been born blind and Jesus had healed him. And because they can't control God and His Word, they excommunicated him from the church as well. That's right. They don't say that they throw out this Word of God. This Word of God is sealed to them. No, it's the Word of God that lives in you. The living Word. That's excommunicated from their churches. And because they can't control God, they excommunicated Him. That is how they exercise their control over the people. If they can't get you to lick their boots and say, "Yasm, Massa. You say jump, we say ha, ha, Massa." And if they can't get you to think like a slave and act like a slave to their own kingdom rules and regulations, then they don't want your independent mind in their circle. Because it will have an adverse effect upon the rest of the people who do that. Those that have a groupthink mindset. And so they get rid of you. But because you don't like losing members, or they don't like losing members first, they will call you to the deacon board to intimidate you first. And if you don't intimidate and cower under their organizational tactics, then if that doesn't work, then out the door you go. And that is nothing less than organization which ties or tries to control the laity. Controls the minds of the people, and you'll keep... That's how they keep their memberships big. The people are afraid in those pews. And the bigger the membership, the bigger the money pot. And that's what it's all about. And let me ask you one thing. When did Brother Branham ever say that they would call you before the deacon board? He said, if somebody's out of line, he said, you deacons, he said, you're to go to them in the spirit of meekness. Meekness. M-E-A-K-N-E-S-S. Meekness. Considering yourself that you're the person in their shoes. In other words, if you've done something that's contrary to church order, they're to go to you in a spirit of meekness and say, brother, can I have a talk with you, please? Considering that you're sitting in his shoes and someone else is talking to you, that's the way you want to talk to them. See, brother, I don't know if you're aware or not, but you know, Brother Bram did say that we should have a certain way that we conduct ourselves in the church. And you, someone in your family, your children maybe, you know, they're getting out of line a little bit. And since you're the head of the home, I'd like you to talk to them. Now what you're doing is you're putting the authority back on that person to go talk to his family. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Now, if they don't do it, then you take another. One other, not a deacon board. You don't take them to the deacon board. You take one other with you. Then if they don't hear it, then you tell it to the church. That's the Bible rules. And you better have scripture for what you're trying to correct the person in, if you're going to correct a person. Even in my house, my daughters have a right. If they see that I'm become emotional or because I say something or do something that's not according to the scripture, they have a right to come to me and say, Father, the Word of God says this, and I just saw you do this. Could you please tell me how what you did here and what the Scripture says here lines up? I say, sorry, dear, I blew it. They have a right. You have a right. Brother Brown said, if I say, or Brother Vail, he says, if we say anything contrary to the Scripture, you have a right to come to us as brothers and ask us about it. He said, that's the Christian thing to do. But you try to go to any pastor in this church, in this church, you all have a right, and I know some of you exercise it quite frequently. Maybe not frequently, but you exercise that, and you have the right to do that. You try doing that in some other church. How dare you come before me? I'm the pastor. No, let me tell you something. Brother Brown said, you ministers, he said, God thinks no more of you than he thinks of the drunk who got saved an hour ago. How dare we exalt ourselves to some highfalutin position to where we are above the people. The minute you get that in your notion, God's through with you. The minute you exalt yourself, you know one thing for sure, you'll be abased. Jesus said, you abase yourself, and God will exalt you. And that is what everything comes down to today. Your mainstream anything always has the backing of the political power behind it, because those that control the masses, they control the votes. Get all the women in church on your side, and you control the men in the church, because there's more women in churches than there are men. So if you look to anyone outside of the mainline churches to get fed, they mark that man and they denounce him. And if you look to any other healthcare institution outside of that which is backed by your government, they try to stop you with laws and with controls and force if necessary. That is what organization is all about. It is to control the people. It does not matter what field it is in, whether it's medicine, whether it's education, whether it's politics, churches, etc. The larger they are, the more influence they have between organizations, and they use it like a network to control the people. And the churches learned this even before medicine and education did. And if you think I'm wrong, just try giving someone medical advice or legal advice, or try to teach them something. Try to teach your children at home, and you'll have to deal with the AMA down your throat, or the American Bar Association claiming that you're practicing law without a license, or the AMA claiming that you're practicing medicine without a license, or some school board saying you're teaching your children when they should be in their schools. And what about the organized churches? Yeah, they need a license to practice law or to practice medicine. You know that? You need a license to practice. Well, if I'm sick, I don't want anybody practicing on me. I want to know that they know what they're talking about. I want to know that that person who's helping me knows how to get down to the root cause. I'm not interested in taking a drug to knock out a symptom. I want to get to the cause of what's ailing me. And that is how we should feel in the churches. We don't want a deacon board to knock out the symptom. Well, you better smile, brother, when you come into this church. Why aren't you smiling, brother? You better get a smile on your face. I heard that you were complaining, brother. You better get rid of that complaining. Why don't they do what the Bible says in the spirit of meekness? Go to them and say, brother, what's ailing you? What do you think the root cause is, brother? Get down to the root cause. Not some drug. Not some deacon board. But brother, what is the root cause? Why do you think when the prophet of God stood there under the discernment, people came up and he said, sister, you shouldn't have come up this way. He said, you've been living in adultery. How do you expect God to bless you and to heal your body when you're living contrary to his word? And the man comes up and he comes storming up and he's ready to hit Brother Brown. That's my wife you're talking about. And he said, yes, sir. And he said, and I saw you in a Cadillac sitting under a tree with your secretary the other night. Then they wonder why they have marital conflict in the home. You want to get rid of marital conflict? Put on a tape every night, every day. Saturate your home with thus saith the Lord. Saturate your home in the Spirit of God. Get on your knees and pray together. You have a problem with your children? Get on your knees and pray with your children. That's getting to the root cause. That's bringing forth that balm in Gilead. And if you think I'm wrong, just try giving someone medical advice. You're practicing medicine without your certification. Try going into a courtroom and saying, I'm here to defend my mother. Yeah, I could throw you in jail right now, son. Practicing law without a license. Oh, yes. You see how organization has bound the people? They can't do anything. They're not free. America's not free. America's so filled with rules, and it's the best thing we could do is not to have Congress at all, because every day they're in there, you got another rule to go by. God gave us 10 basic, simple rules, and Jesus combined it into one. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to steal against him. You're not going to covet his wife. You're not going to covet his goods. You're not going to lie against him, bear false witness against him. It all comes down to love. But they don't want love. We sing the song, bind us together with love, but they don't believe in that. Bind us together by organization. Bind us together, control us. Then we'll have our big churches. And notice what else Brother Ram said about these fallen angels. He said they come into every message before it could break forth into the real revelation of Christ, and they take over that message. That is why Brother Bell told me several years ago, he said the make-believers have taken over this message. So in his message, Christ Revealed in His Own Word, paragraph 260, Brother Brown said, Wesley was a man of God, but what followed him? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God that fell for Lucifer's wisdom. Fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they become? Fallen angels. And organizations from man of God, who's went forth to establish truth in the earth, before that truth could come along and proclamate and get onto the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels come in and took it over. What do you think of these preachers? You know some of them. Stand up there and organize and take control. Fallen angels denying the word of God. Fallen angels. But Brother Bram said they took over. And they made denominations out of it. That's the reason the revelation of the seven seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now you see it? When they left off, if Luther would have went on, it would have been here. If Wesley would have went on, if Pentecost would have went on, what would they have done? It would have come back to this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, sons of God, in the image of the Son of God. It would have had to come to this. But what stepped in? Organization. They begin to control it. Luther's gone now. We'll take control. Brother Branham's gone now. We'll take control. Wesley's gone now. We'll take control. Brother Vail's, he's not preaching anymore. We'll take control. Yeah. And how do they control the people? With their deacon boards. Hogwash. The answer is, they would have come to this message. But men entered in among the people, not sparing the flock, and that is what Paul said in his day, and he called them false brethren in the book of Acts chapter 15, and again in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2 and 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus also with me. And I went up by the revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I had been preaching among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that, because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we had in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And Paul called them in the book of Acts, chapter 15. He called them, he said, and there came in among us Pharisees who believed. Well, now tell me, how could you be a Pharisee and believe the grace gospel? The gospel of grace. You can't be a legalist and believe the gospel of grace. These guys were Pharisees in the message, and they wanted circumcision. They wanted, look at the flesh, look at the flesh, look at the flesh, and then you see my beautiful soul. Bunch of hogwash. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's persons, for they seem to be somewhat. Those seeming to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. By contrariness, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same of which I always was forward to do. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before there were certain that came from James who did eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews do, why do you compel then that why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the laws, works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it was his faith that he's living by. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, Brother Bram said in Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, paragraph 42, he said, And isn't that just the way that the people get today? Let God just bless a fellow and just a little confidence in him, and he gets to be a know-it-all. He's got to start an organization, or he's got to do something that's different. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? It's God has a hard time trying to get somebody that he can deal with that'll stay humble and meek and stay in their place until God calls them to do something. Do you believe that? See? A man that God can bless, and he'll still keep himself a man, not be an angel or a god. As soon as a man gets blessed and has a little something given to him, he wants to become a god. He wants to become an angel. That's exactly what happened with the seven thunders. Joseph Coleman, big Joseph Coleman, starts a movement, gets very popular, becomes a big time preacher. He sends his missionaries all over the world. They preach his seven thunders mysteries, keeps the people in mysteries, makes Joe Coleman somebody big. Finally, he declares himself to be the angel, the seventh angel, or the one that came down to the seventh angel. Yeah, right. Well, if he's an angel, he's not a son then, Brother Vail said. Brother Ram said, every time God does something for them, they want to become a god. They want to become an angel. They want to become something higher than man. As soon as he gets blessed and has something, a little something given to him, he wants to become a god. As Paul said, what, did the word of God come to you, or did it come out from you, or did it come to you only? I have to receive this word the same way you have to receive this word, by revelation. Makes me no bigger than you. If you got the same revelation I've got, it makes us sons. That's all. Who do the deacon board think they are? We don't have one here, so we have a deacon. Who do the deacon boards in these churches think they are? Above the people? Oh, you're making yourself above the sons of God? That sounds like Lucifer to me. Didn't Lucifer exalt himself above the sons of God? Since when did Brother Bram say you got to take somebody to a deacon board? He said, you go to them in private, in meekness, considering yourself. As soon as a man gets blessed and has a little something given to him, he wants to become a god. He wants to become an angel. He wants to become some great person. What I do, what, me and mine and all that. That's the wrong attitude. God's hunting for somebody that who he could bless and pour out the blessings. And the more he blessed, the littler the man become. And you'll never get more of God until you become nothing. You've got to belittle yourself. He that will exalt himself, God will bring abase. But he that will humble himself, God will exalt. You've got to get little before you can get big. And you'll never get big on your own self. You'll only be as big as God will let you be big. You know, it's interesting, but the Apostle Paul was not recognized in his day much. You had 11 other apostles sitting there in Jerusalem, hiding like a bunch of women. Excuse me, women, I don't mean to demean you. Hiding like a bunch of little children. Children, I don't mean to demean you either. Afraid to go out and testify. Paul's out there getting 5 times, he was whipped 39 times. He was in peril on the seas, in peril in his own countrymen, in peril in the cities, in peril by false brethren, he said. And yet Paul was out there constantly going places where no one else would go, bringing the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and yet Paul made himself of no big reputation. Worked his job, tanned the hides, made his tents, supported his own ministry, and supported the brethren in Jerusalem when they were under siege by Rome. When they were starving the people out, they brought the food. They brought silver, money to help them. As Paul said, he spent even in his outward. Let me just read it to you. Acts chapter 15. I believe it's Acts 15. It might be another verse, but let me see if I can find it. Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, you want to be a Pharisee? I was a Pharisee. You want to be a Jew? I was a Jew. He said, I did all these things. He said, and above that, he said, I was whipped 5 times, 39 lashes. He said, I spent myself for the gospel and poured out like a drink offering. He said, all these things. He said, I've gone to places where no other places will go. He said, not only that, but on the daily basis, he said, I took care of all the needs of all the churches. They came to Paul with their problems because Paul was the only one. They had a heart enough to help him out. Try getting that from Jeffersonville. You got a problem? Write to Jeffersonville. See if they'll send you any money to help you out in your problem. They're not interested in your problem. They got their machine. They got to oil it. So Brother Ram said he wants to become some great person. What I do, what me, mine, and that's all. He said, that's the wrong attitude. God's hunting for somebody who he can bless and pour out the blessings, and the more he blessed, the littler the man will become. And you'll never get more of God until you become nothing. You've got to belittle yourself. He that will exalt himself, God will abase. He that will humble himself, God will exalt. You've got to get little before you can get big. And you'll never get big in your own self. You'll only be as big as God will let. God will be big in you, see? So you see how contrary organization is to God himself. Organization uses the power of its numbers to control man, instead of allowing the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon God's word to control that wayward person. And that is because organization wants immediate results. But they that wait upon the Lord are the ones that get the promises. You can't rush God, and neither can you change a person's heart by clipping out the symptoms. I've had people come to me before and say, you know, brother so-and-so just keeps doing this, blah, blah, blah. And I say, just be patient. Just pray for them. Well, why don't you go talk to them? No, I don't feel led to talk to them. I feel led to pray for them. You go to praying, and Brother Brown said, when the weakest Christian goes to his knees, all hell trembles. Well, if you are a son of God and you know your position as a son of God, you fear nobody. You don't fear if there's only 2 or 3 sitting in this church. You don't fear popularity, the lack of it. No. You don't fear all those three vices, popularity, men and women. You don't fear those things. Because you know who you are by the grace of God. You don't say, well, there's a door. If you don't like it here, hit the door, Jack. Sorry, but that's not God's way. That's not God's way. No. You simply go to prayer. Say, God, you're greater than I. You're greater than any man's ability to negotiate a person's spirit into the right track. No, Lord, I'm just going to turn that person over to you. Deal with them whatever way you wish, for you are the great judge. You know all, Father. And so I humbly release myself from that person. And I ask you, Father, to deal with that person. Help them. Because I love that person, Father. And I know that if I do it, it might get messed up. But if you do it, it'll be done right. That's not just the way a pastor is supposed to be. That's the way all of you are supposed to be.
Amen.
If we did more praying and less talking, we'd see more results. But organization wants to control. They want immediate results. They don't want to wait upon the Lord. You can't rush God, and neither can you change a person's heart by clipping out the symptoms. Preach the Word of God and let it penetrate into the very marrow of the bones, and it'll change the thoughts and the intents of that person's heart. If you truly have a revelation that the presence of God is here, you'll watch even the things that you think. And remember this, thoughts come from two places, from God and from Satan. And if they're not from God, let them go. Don't let them make a nest. They're not your thoughts to begin with. Don't even claim them. Sometimes I'll be walking along and some bad thoughts will happen. I say, God, that's not my thought. I know it's not your thought. I don't want it. And it goes away. Resist the devil and he will flee. And again, from Christ's Mystery of God Revealed, paragraph 270, Brother Babson, notice, Lucifer comes in cunning like he did then, and by temptations and false promises of power, and apart from the Word of God, he did the same at Nicaea, Rome. He's doing the same today at the World Council of Ecumenical Churches. Let's all unite together, the Pope says. I want all my ecumenical brethren out there to unite with me. We're one. That's right. Well, in organization, you are one. But that has nothing to do with the bride of Christ. Not a thing, brother. You'll never wash her in anything like that. Why? Because she's washed in the washing of water by the Word. Now, I'm getting back to the masterpiece, paragraph 153. Brother Branham continues. But it sprouted in order to make an organization, and it pulled through that organization. And then what did it do? Then it went from that organization, it went into another organization. It went into another stage of the Word, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, see? And what it went through this stalk and process, it kept coming on more and more and more. And so you see, every time God brought word, brought a message, the people organized. Why? To control that word. Why? To control God. To control each other. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we know that you have come down with a shout. And we know that there's a binding taking place, but that's among the tares because you cannot bind the wheat. We've even shown by experiment, Lord, you take a piece of string and you try to bind wheat seeds. They just fall all over the place. They can't be bound. And so, Father, we just pray that your great presence would just draw us, that great magnet would come across and just pick us up, oh God. The only lifting up we want is to be lifted up into your presence. To be lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Help us never, Father, to have that ungodly attitude of thinking that we're somebody, thinking that we're big, because there is no big I's and little U's in this message. There's only one, and that is you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Father, I adore you.